Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked on Lakers for Monday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. We've talked about rock bottom before, Andy, with this Lakers group. I'd say we hit it on Sunday, but then again, we don't know. But good Lord, a 123-95 loss to the Pelicans was god-awful in every way, shape, and form, and we will talk about it next.
You are Locked on Lakers. Your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I want to thank everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday. No matter how you get your podcasts, where you get your podcasts, never behind a paywall. We will not make you pay for this process the Lakers are making you go through. But we appreciate you doing that every day with us. And I want to let you know as well that today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props and odds and lines and all those things than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. So we have talked about belief. We have talked about performance. We have talked about talent. We have talked about effort. We have talked about many, many things over the course of the season. And all of them, Andy, seem to be in play on Sunday night in a terrible 123-95 loss to a Pelicans team that is playing significantly better, is now the 10 seed in the West and is dangerously close to the Lakers overtaking them for the 9 and forcing them to play on the road twice to get into the big boy playoffs, assuming they still stay in the top 10, which is no longer really a guarantee with the way this team is playing. This was an incredibly dispiriting loss, both because of how the Lakers performed, you know, statistically speaking and all that stuff, turnovers, this, that, and everything. But also, like Dwight Howard referred to it, the body language, the energy. Russell Westbrook said flat out the team was out-hustled and outplayed. Like, it was really bad. I mean, by any standard, it was bad.
I mean, on the court, Brian, like, as you mentioned, they were absolutely dreadful on both sides of the ball. I mean, a few of the lowlights were the 23 turnovers. They gave up 25 points in the process. They shot 21% from behind the arc, rounding up defensively.
It took some rally caps to get there, by the way. So the outside shooting since the break has been chilly. To say the least.
They just straight up stunk defensively. They really were just out of sorts. And top to bottom, everybody was bad. There was not a single Laker in this game who I thought really played well. Do not let LeBron's 32 points fool you. He did not play well. And I know this because LeBron, after the game, acknowledged that with his 7 points, and he was as much of a part of those defensive lapses
seven turnovers,
he was bad. Everybody was bad. But, you know, and we can get into some of the mechanics of the badness. They obviously miss Anthony Davis. The talent gap that has been an issue for this team, you know, when they're not at full strength and occasionally even when they are, was visible during this game. But also, you know, that effort and the body language and the psychology of this team. You know, Russell Westbrook said after the game that he feels like by now it's on the scouting report that this team will get down on themselves if things are not going well. He said, quote, play harder than them and see what happens. Like, that was his guess about how it's written up right now on the opposing team's scouting reports. And, you know, Dwight Howard talking afterwards, Dwight is, you know, he's a verbose guy. Dwight is a talker. And afterwards, you know, games, even after losses, Dwight will say a lot, even if it's just positive speak platitudes. That's just who Dwight is. Dwight kept saying afterwards, I'm at a loss for words. That says something, man. When Dwight Howard can't even come up with the, like, faux Tony Robbins BS.
Right, the requisite things you would needlepoint on a pillow.
I mean, that's... That's really revealing.
Let's stick with the energy and the effort stuff here for a minute, because I do want to get into some of the talent and what's here and maybe what they can do about this going forward. you and I have, I think, put a slightly different emphasis, finding slightly different reasons for some of the effort. I think sometimes, you know, quality of play, like the impacts the effort, like when you're not playing well, it, you know, you look like you're not trying very hard sometimes. But that said, there are times when you can see effort and energy are there and like, damn, we can't get anything going. We can't make it work. And you compare the third quarter Sunday in a really important moment to the third quarter against the Clippers on Friday in an equally kind of make it or break it sort of timing. Like, this is a moment where we need to turn something around. Now, the Lakers came out in against the Clippers on Friday and they got the, you know, they played a great third quarter, got the lead back and eventually lost. It didn't turn out well, but the effort and the energy was certainly there coming out of the break. They're down 11 going into the break on Sunday, and they come out and they got the doors blown off of them in the third. And you combine that with the first half where they scored 40 points. I wonder if from a belief standpoint, if from an energy standpoint, that Clippers game where they came back and they did the work and all that stuff and looked like they were going to win, kind of a feel good about yourself. I wonder if that game broke something. It was a fragile construction to begin with. And I wonder if that game broke something.
I mean, it's certainly possible. I mean, it's like in the second Jurassic Park movie when they were in that glass elevator or whatever it was and everything's spider webbing and you realize like you are on the verge of falling through this glass at any moment.
Into the dinosaurs, no less.
Yes, exactly. And look, you know that to me, effort and focus and, you know, like attention to detail and all these different things that are basically synonymous with urgency, however you want to phrase it, like whether you're talking about hair on fire, whether you want to talk about, you know, being dialed in enough to pay attention to the details, whatever. This has been an issue for this team basically since the season began, you know, early on when I think they just assumed that they were good enough. And then during these periods right now, where I think for a lot of the year, they've been really cognizant of the idea of we may not be good enough. And they may be realizing right now we straight up aren't. Like, this has been a thing for them all year. So in some respects, it's hard to know exactly what broke them. But where I think you could be onto something, Brian, is the idea that in the first half against the Clippers, they were down pretty big. But the irony was, they actually were executing their offense, for example, pretty well. Mm-hmm. They just weren't making shots. And then the second half, they were playing more sloppy and in certain respects worse, but got back into the thing only to end up blowing it.
But so anyway, I would say, I agree with you. But I just want to say, because I think this matters. I think they were playing sloppier. But I also think they were playing with significantly improved energy. They were pushing.
I agree, but this is actually where I'm going with it.
Okay.
I think they were playing sloppier, but, you know, harder. They got back into it only to end up blowing it. So over the course of that game, you see like the widest spectrum of everything they could be doing in terms of not being rewarded for execution, like somehow getting back into the thing in spite of themselves through effort, and it's still not paying off. And maybe that's the thing that just makes you say, F it, man, it ain't going to happen. But we still have 20-something games left to be put through the ringer. Because I know later in the show, I want to get into something that James Worthy said in the Spectrum Sportsnet postgame show that I think was extremely telling. And James Worthy, who is great as an analyst, one of the reasons is because he's dead ass honest. Like he must have watched some clips of Chick Hearn calling his games, and then afterwards, because he's part of the honesty camp. This team does not play like they really want to fight for this thing on a regular basis. Even if they know it's an uphill battle, like they're ready to just say, screw it, man. Let's just do it. And if we go down in flames, I want to talk about it
because I think the psychology here is interesting. And the Clippers are a great, the Pelicans, the Clippers, these are all great teams to compare it to. And why I think, you know, the Lakers are, it's different with them, and it's not working to generate this kind of the kind of need and want, even beyond the talent, which we'll also talk about. We'll do all that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Built Bar. February is almost over, which means your New Year's resolutions have been long tossed out the window. But it is not too late to get back on track with eating right because Built Bar makes it easy. Like, have you tried the Puffs? If you have not, you are missing out on one of Built Bar's best tasting items. Puffs are the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy, marshmallowy, not just a protein bar. They're a treat covered in 100% real chocolate. Great flavors like yummy, cinnamony, churro, coconut marshmallow, banana cream pie, just awesome, awesome flavors. Again, always covered in 100% real chocolate. And most Built Bars contain just 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, but 17 grams of protein. And that's the good stuff. So go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, get 15% off your first order. Again, promo code LOCKED15, 15% off at built.com.
So where I think the Lakers are particularly vulnerable and why they are in a deeper bit of trouble, to get to your point psychologically, what makes it even worse is the context of this team and the expectations of this team are such that they can see the veteranness of this team. They can see where they want to go, where the expectation is, where the only thing that's sort of considered acceptable for them is just not happening. And like, you compare it to a team like the Clippers a couple of years ago when, you know, they were playing with no stars and everybody kept saying, God, what a scrappy bunch this is. And they keep, like, the reward for them, other than a bunch of guys trying to stay in the NBA, like, it was the, hey, let's show these people we can make playoffs. Let's show, like, you know, this year's group with Ty Lue. It's like, show that, you know, we're gonna prove people wrong about where they are. Like, I feel like that opportunity isn't there really for the Lakers. There is a success for this team that is a championship, a Western Conference Finals, a something like that. Or there is failure. And I think they see, and I understand why the expectations are the way they are. And I think they see failure. And I think it is making it very difficult for them night to night to sustain through 48 minutes when things aren't going well. And it's not to say that they never try. And, you know, a guy like Stanley Johnson isn't loafing when he plays. Dwight plays hard when he plays. I don't think THT is but as Dwight said, the body language, the spirit of this team, whatever. It is so, like, I watch my son is on a soccer team where they're struggling. They're just struggling. They have really a difficult time scoring, and kids are playing hard and they want to, but they're 9, 10, 10. I'm sorry, this one's 12, 13 years old, the kids on this team. And they're smart enough to know when they're down 3 goals, they're not going to win. And it's really hard for them to keep playing. And I don't think it's that different with this group of Lakers, even though they're professionals and they should. When they struggle, because I think they see that the big picture goal is just not there. And it is hard for them to maintain the spirit to play with your hair on fire, to play your ass off, to play, as James Worthy said, really hard and with spirit, even though when that payoff may not be there. I just don't think that gear is there.
Well, let me read you what Worthy said. And this was really to start the post-game show in Spectrum Sports. And he said, quote, "There's something going on in this team that they cannot shake, or that they're not willing to shake it. Right now they're embarrassed. They're not where they're supposed to be. They see a steady climb they got to make. They got to do the impossible right now, and I just don't see the mentality to fight for it. Hopefully they do have it, but I don't see it on the court." So I would say this, Brian, in terms of the idea of the goal of this season, which obviously was to win a championship. They came in considered, you know, clearly, you know, rightly or wrongly. It's feeling more and more like wrongly.
I'm going to say wrongly. As someone who still, despite all the concerns, I mean, granted, yes, we have made a huge mistake. I had you told me everybody's going to get hurt like this, I'd be like, oh, they're screwed. But like, what, you know, everybody can, well, out without Anthony, they're 10-12 with Anthony Davis in the line. It's like, they're not a good team with everybody available.
No.
And so
what I would say though,
it's just been terrible. And I was wrong.
Yeah. I mean, look, a lot of people were wrong.
That was the larger point. I was wrong.
Sure. I was wrong. I had them, I believe, going to the finals. Like I know a lot of people were wrong on this team. The front office was wrong on this team. LeBron was wrong on this team. Anthony Davis was wrong. Russell Westbrook, Jeannie Buss, down the damn line of anybody who has been associated with this team, like the overwhelming majority, even people like you and I who acknowledged from the beginning, look, there's going to be a lot to figure out with Russell Westbrook and implementing him, as I like to say, the least subtle player, the least blendable player in the entire
league. And it could
league.
Go wrong. And right. But even in going wrong, I didn't think it would be this bad.
No. And, you know, some of this has been circumstances either unforeseeable or beyond our control. Some of this has been just things flat out not working. But in terms of what Worthy said, there's the larger picture goal of winning a championship that is increasingly looking just impossible for them. But as James Worthy said, they got to really do the impossible right now. And I don't see the mentality to fight for it. Mm-hmm. The goal they should have right now, for lack of a better way of putting this, don't effing embarrass yourself along the way.
Yeah, play for pride. Like, you're talking about this team going from that belief and that expectation to essentially what you're talking about is playing for pride.
Well,
and that is, I understand, like, your pride should have value, but it's a massive gear shift psychologically, and it is a massive thing to go do.
It is a massive gear shift, but you know what is even more jarring, I would think at least, than, you know, the idea of we came out here with a championship aspiration and we are laughably far from it. Getting your ass booed semi-regularly over the course of a season in front of a fan base that, you know, you and I have covered the Lakers now for, I believe it's going on 16 years. And we have stuck up for this regularly. Like, nationally, Laker fans have a reputation for being fair weather bandwagoners. They only care about the team when they're really good. And that is straight up BS. Laker fans are entitled as hell. They are spoiled as hell.
Super obnoxious.
Yes.
Like in like the world of NBA Twitter.
But
like, well earned.
But 17 well-earned
championships.
Well-earned, but also they are loyal as
yes,
man, and they care. Laker fans care, and particularly Laker fans who are shelling out the money to be in that arena to watch this team, they care. And I can promise you, if you play hard, even if you lose, even if this season goes down the toilet, they will at least stop booing you.
I would agree.
And, you know, if you want a game within the game goal, how about stop getting booed? Like, I don't avoid getting booed.
I think nothing about what you're saying is wrong. And I think that you would wish as a fan and as a coach, as a broadcaster,
James.
As a broadcaster.
We got to get to Stu Lance before this is over, too.
Yeah, we will. I mean, they were honoring Stu Lance. This is Stu Lance night at the ballpark, so to speak. And and maybe the Lakers secretly hate him. Maybe they just don't like Stu Lance, who deserved way better on his honorary night.
35 years calling games.
I just think that psychologically, as Russell Westbrook said, if you go out and play harder again, they are broken. And like, something, not to the point where they never play hard, not to the point where they phone it in, not to the point where they give up on every game, because they don't do that either. They have a tremendous ability to fall behind by 18 and come back. But the stuff that gets you to do it for 48 minutes hasn't been there all year. I 100% agree with you about that. But there's another side to this coin that also became very obvious over the last couple games, and certainly on Sunday, that makes the effort and intensity and belief problem that much worse. And I will talk about that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Bet Online. Football is over for the season, but basketball is in full swing with both pro and college hoops. And for all the latest odds, totals, player performance props to where the next fired coach is going to land. BetOnline.
Whoa.
Yeah. BetOnline.net is the number one spot for all.
Do you think Frank is putting little odds down? Does he know something we don't?
God, I like
parlay Frank. This into a couple of weeks in Fiji.
He's a really high character person.
He will not be the coach next year.
No, I don't see it. BetOnline.net is the number one spot for all your sporting bet needs. BetOnline remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. It's not just basketball. BetOnline.net is your source for hockey, boxing, and UFC odds and information. So head to the website today. Use your mobile device. Learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Okay, so I sent out a tweet during the game that the lineup, I believe, a smarter man would have had the tweet in front of him. But I had a tweet out that looked at the lineup the Lakers had on the floor, and it was Westbrook and Reeves and Monk and Dwight and Stanley Johnson, I believe it was.
Would you like me to read the tweet for you?
Yeah, if you got it. I got four of the five right. Stanley wasn't on the floor.
From Brian Kamenetsky, quote, "People are obviously disappointed and expect better, but in October, if I had told you a team would take the floor sporting Westbrook, Monk, THT, something called Austin Reeves and Dwight, you'd probably think that team wasn't very good." BK. Right.
So, yeah, I have four of the five right. My point there is that is not a good NBA fivesome. Like, it's not. And, you know, especially with Westbrook kind of diminished to the where he is now. You know, I like Malik Monk, but he is not. If you are relying on Monk to be your third best player, sometimes the Lakers, in the case right now, given how shaky Westbrook can be, are relying on Monk to be their second best player. Like, that's not going to work. He's not that good.
He's going to make more money this offseason, but not that much money.
Not that much. He's not.
He ain't making max player money. Right.
Let's all slow down. And I say this not to cap on Malik Monk. I think both of us have been really excited about the story that Monk is. And I hope he makes way more money than the Lakers are capable of paying him, because he deserves it. He seems like an awesome dude, and he's a solid NBA player. But you are not doing something that's fair to him if you expect him to be your second or third best player, fourth best player consistently every game. And that's kind of the position the Lakers have put themselves into. Austin Reeves is a great story. And I think he's going to turn, you know, he could turn into a surprisingly solid NBA player. He's clearly got value as someone who can contribute, particularly to good teams.
Yep.
He's just a smart player, smart, solid, good player. The last two games where he started, he has not contributed very much, because it's like, oh yeah, he's also an undrafted rookie playing, you know, deep into the season. He's now on scouting reports. People are kind of paying attention to him, and he hasn't been good. It is unfair to put Reeves in this situation, not to start him. And I don't care if they keep starting. It's fine with me. I don't think they're a wash, Andy, with other great options. But there's been kind of this talk, I think, because people expect the Lakers to be better and expect fixes to be there. Like, well, Jesus, it's just so obvious. Start Austin Reeves. It's like, that will fix things. No, it's not. It's not going to fix things. Because Austin isn't that good yet. And, you know, somebody replied to me on Twitter. They said, yeah, but that still doesn't mean they shouldn't beat the Pelicans. And my reaction to that was, really? Because once you get past LeBron, and LeBron is a different issue, and I think a lot of the psychology of the team comes from LeBron. They take a lot of their cues from LeBron, and I don't think LeBron's headspace is very good right now. I also don't think he's healthy. And it wouldn't surprise me if they keep losing games if he just shuts it down. I do not think he's healthy. But, like, you get past him, Brandon Ingram is better than anybody else the Lakers are putting on the floor. Jonas Valanciunas might be better than anybody else the Lakers are putting on the floor. CJ McCollum might be better than anybody else the Lakers are putting on the floor, depending on how Westbrook is playing on any given night. Herb Jones is their Austin Reeves, a guy they drafted him, but a guy they didn't expect to contribute, you know, good defender, does a lot of little things, whatever. And he's better. He's playing better and has been more productive than Reeves. You know, Devontae Graham is kind of like Malik Monk, you know, sure. Instant offense. Like, they don't, the talent on this team, when you get past LeBron, Westbrook, and AD, is not good enough to win NBA games unless those guys are nails. And when LeBron isn't, and when Westbrook isn't, these other guys, they're not that good. And that is a problem with roster construction. And so asking guys get to kind of link it back to what we were doing before, not only are they asking guys to be sort of play hard and believe and all these other things, we're also asking a lot of players to be better than they actually are, I think, to make this work. And it is a doubly bad situation for the Lakers, and I do not know how they fix it.
Well, it's interesting.
That is the end of my monologue, and I apologize.
Yes. And
I had a lot to say.
And scene. It's interesting when you mention LeBron.
I've been in character for 4 days now.
And his health. And, you know, when you mention guys having to be better than they are, they need LeBron to be better, not just than he has been, but you wonder if they need him to be better than he can be. And not just in the sense that I think it's become clear this season, and this is something I think we'll talk about more at length over the course of the season, but it's become very
and
clear.
What could be a significantly longer offseason than we were planning.
LeBron is still obviously a great player, but he is no longer capable of being the guy that, if you have him by definition, you are not just in the mix, you're in the deep mix. Because
yes,
it
correct.
Used to be just you throw LeBron onto any roster and you are solving 95% of your problems by definition of him being there. And between, you know, the mileage that he has right now on his body and, you know, the availability questions that are now there for him, as we've seen 3 of the 4 years he's been with the Lakers, you can't count on him being that guy anymore automatically, even again, acknowledging how good he is. But beyond that, right now, if he's not healthy, because LeBron has not played a good game from start to finish in at least 4 games, maybe longer. He hasn't, and the last, you know, this game, he was not good. You know, to be perfectly honest, he was the reason in certain respects they lost against Golden State. He was awful in the fourth quarter. If he had just been, you know, passable.
He did, but he played better in the first three. He was terrible in the fourth. But he played a better first three, but he was god awful.
Right, but the point being though, LeBron right now does not look like LeBron right now.
Correct. Yeah.
So you have to start wondering at this point, what do you do with that? You know, do you dial back his minutes some and take a certain amount of chances with how the game shakes out? Like, you know, what does Frank Vogel do from here other than, like, I joked at Cam Brothers during the game because Frank got a technical when they were down, like, 25 or something. I don't even remember what it was about. It doesn't matter. But I was like, if I were Frank, I would just get a second technical, toss a bunch of money on the court like I was making it rain, leave the arena and go home. Like, I wouldn't.
Andy, I would. I'll do you one better. I would do that twice in the first minute and a half of every game. I would mother F the referees and get myself sent home.
But like,
let me ask you this though
right now, but he's not helping when he plays like this. He's actually not helping because so much revolves around him and he's not playing like LeBron on a regular basis.
There are a couple things over here though. Like the Lakers are constructed. We'll see what they do in this offseason, but like, what you're saying reminds me a little bit of when the Lakers kind of didn't adapt to what Kobe was as his career went on. Still excellent, still elite, still, but not that guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was a point at which I feel like the Lakers kind of looked at Kobe with sentimentality in terms of how good he was. And I think there's what's happening with LeBron too to your point, is not only is he at a place where you're right, he cannot be that guy who carries a team. You just put, you know,
certainly not
you're automatic, right?
Maybe
you're automatically, maybe
he
could
playoffs, but you crank it up. But I don't know if we're ever going to find out.
But like maybe it's there, maybe it's not, but like they are at a place where they're also simultaneously testing the idea of you can put him with anybody. So you're taking a diminished guy who isn't quite as capable of just powering any team through, and then also kind of being like, I wonder how far we can take this. He can get anybody to the playoffs thing, because particularly when Davis doesn't play, I'd be willing to go through. Maybe we should do this. I don't know what it would accomplish other than just making Lakers fans feel even worse. I'd be willing to go through a lot of these rosters that he's been on and kind of player by player compare the supporting cast here versus the supporting cast on a lot of these teams. And I realize LeBron doesn't always have 73 all-stars and this and that, whatever. And we talk a lot about that first finals team that he dragged to the, you know, that like they got swept by San Antonio, but like, nobody should even count that as a finals loss because the players were on LeBron's team. But like, it's a bad combination of LeBron is on his way down physically at the very least, and they're also gutting the infrastructure. They didn't do it on purpose, but that's what happened, and they got to fix it. That's what needs to happen. You are 1,000% correct. This is a different LeBron James that requires a different kind of safety net. And I think they thought they were doing that with Russ, and instead they gutted the team. They had a net and they cut giant flipping holes in it. The net's name was Kentavious Caldwell Pope.
All right. I want to end on a, at least fun note. We noted, it was,
so we're going to stop talking about Sunday.
It was, well, no, but this happened during Sunday.
In sorts.
But this was at least fun. It was, like we said earlier, a night paying tribute to Stu Lance, who I believe is now 35 years calling games with the Lakers. Everybody knows, you know, the legendary time with him and Chick Hearn. You know, we've been around Stu a bit. Neither one of us knows him well, but we both like him a lot. Very nice guy, great pro, the most punctual man you will ever meet in your life. He's terrifyingly punctual. But during the broadcast, the Spectrum Sportsnet broadcast, they showed this photo of Stu Lance in high school. Look at Stu. That is fantastic. Look at him.
Look at that.
He looks kind of like you would imagine Stu did in high school. But I thought that was really fun. And congrats to him on this night. Again, he really deserved better.
Yeah,
it was James Worthy's birthday too, apparently. Like, they screwed over every Laker icon.
I saw a tweet of the cupcakes. It was terrible loss. And I curious to see what happens on Monday. If they are practicing, who they put in front of the media, all that. Anyway, Locked On Lakers on YouTube. Thanks again for the first listen thing. We appreciate that. We'll see everyone Tuesday. Now more than ever.